Welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your cities upside down. Hey, I'm your host, Justin Goff. Stay tuned. We got a great show for you today. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in today. And I'm Justin. Hallelujah. And I'm honored to be here with you. Thank you for taking time out of your day to tune in to the podcast. Listen, my prayer is that you are being strengthened and encouraged and motivated, and that strategies, Rhema, we have the logos, that's the written word, but when it talks to you, when it ministers to you, it's Rhema. It's real time answers and solutions and strategies that will help you right now. So that's our prayer, that as we get into the word, that it becomes Rhema to you and for you. Now, I'm going to jump into a thought today. And if you haven't listened to last week's, I talked about rightly dividing the scriptures. That's very important. That's a key thought in order for me to introduce what I'm going to now. I'm going to talk about not under law, but what I'm going to talk about today won't make any sense to you if you don't understand the three different people that, as God sees them, that are on the earth today. Those three different people are the Jew, the Gentile, depending on the translation you have, it's also translated Greeks. It's from the Old Testament word goyim, or anybody that doesn't have a covenant. That's what that means. Heathen is a derivative out of that family of concept there. So you had the Jew, you had everybody else that did not have a covenant, okay? And then in the New Testament, you've got this third person or third man, we might say born again, and comes on the scene, and now there is futures and judgments that apply to him. Well, he's the one new man in Christ Jesus, who's neither Jew nor Gentile. So this is the born again, this is the body of Christ, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the ecclesia. So there's three people groups in the New Testament as God sees them. Each one of those three people groups have futures and judgments that are associated with them. So listen to last week's as we lay out how to rightly divide the scripture. I'm going to move on today and talk about not under law, but again, you'll need to have that little tool in your tool belt in order to track along with me today. So Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, watch this. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Well, it just so happens that the letter of Galatians is written to the ecclesia. It's not written to the Jew, and it's not written to the Gentile. It's not written to First Covenant folk. It's not written to everybody else that doesn't have a covenant at all. By the way, you have a covenant now in Christ Jesus, ratified by his blood. But I just wanted to bring that out, that in Christ Jesus, it's not about your maleness or femaleness, and that'll clear up a whole ton of issues right there, the fighting and the squabbling. Well, can women preach? I saw something the other day. A woman carried Christ Jesus. I'm sure she can talk about him. Hallelujah. How silly, how absolutely silly our traditions have become. I totally believe women can preach, teach. I'm telling you, they can proclaim that gospel truth with power. I did several podcasts on that. You can find those in the archives and get yourself out of religious pits and arguments and debates that are useless, friends, and get on with it. Hallelujah. Anyway, so in Christ, there's neither male nor female. It's not about that. It's about head, body. That's Ephesians 5, Revelation. Again, I've done gobs of teaching on the mystery of the head and the body. Hallelujah. Both men and women now comprise the body of Christ, Jesus being our head. All throughout the scriptures, when people get confused over can a man do this or a woman do that, it's because they're missing the glaring revelation that it's not about male, female, it's about head, body. Anyways, that's enough of that. But then he said there's neither Jew nor Greek. Same argument here. I mean, it's the same ideas that are squabbled over, and it's because people can't rightly divide the scripture, but you need the tool, the three groups of people, in order to help you do that. If you're part of Ecclesia, you're not associated now with the group that you came out of. If you were a Jew and you got born again, well, you're not associated with the judgment in the future that still awaits the Jew, Jacob, and Israel, namely. If you were a Gentile, but you got born again, well, you're ecclesia, so now you're no longer associated with the futures and the judgments of the people group you came out of. I said this last week. Unless you are a Jew, you are not a Jew. Unless you are born again, you are not ecclesia. If you are ecclesia, you are not Israel. If you are Israel, you are not the Gentile. Okay, so no one's ever confused those groups until recently. Or maybe that's been the battle over time, is the ignorance of confusing who these people are and what God's doing in them. Ephesians 2:14 through 16 says this, "For he himself is our peace." Again, Ephesians is a letter, so specifically written to the ecclesia. These letters are not written to Israel or to the Jew. These letters are not written to the Gentile, although the Gentile and the Jew could easily read these letters and find a hope. Hallelujah. Find a glorious future in Christ Jesus. We use these letters. We use the Bible to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right, but specifically, if you want to find out what about the ecclesia, then read the letters. If you want to find out what about is going to happen to Israel or Jews in general, or Israel or Jacob, which would be the line of promise, or the nations, then you can read the Old Testament in particularly. And then, of course, Revelation kind of wraps it up in a nice little bow. John was born again, and he saw from the perspective of ecclesia what was going to happen. Hallelujah. Oh, it's fascinating, friends. I love it. Ephesians 2:14 through 16. He himself is our peace, who is both made one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two. It's not a collaboration between Jew and Gentile. There's many groups, primarily post-tribulation groups, that are teaching it's some sort of collaboration between the Jew and the Gentile. I don't teach that. What we teach is that the one new man is the church. The one new man is born again. He's born again. I mean, it's like he's part of the second Adam. I mean, it's a totally different group of people. You're not associated anymore in the eyes of God as being from the same group that you were in. Like, this is Christ's inheritance from all tribes, tongue, nations, creeds, ethnicities. He took them out from these nations and he did something new in them. That's the new man. The born again believer is a new man. Totally different future now, as distinct from Jew and Gentile. Totally different judgments as awaits him. Totally distinct from the Jew and Gentile now. So he, Christ, in himself, he made this one new man from the two. He took from those groups and caused them to be born again now. And now they have a totally different place in him, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. So after becoming a born-again new creation in Christ Jesus, now if you ever looked up that word, new creation in Christ Jesus, you know what it means. It's a new species that has never existed before. Well, from which did he take in order to cause this or to bring about this thing? Well, he took them from the previous two groups of people, Jew and Gentile. Now there's this third group. Who is this third group? The new creation. That one didn't exist before, but now it does. It's the new creation. It's the one new man in Christ. So after becoming born again, this new creation, Christ Jesus, you are no longer associated with the judgments of the people you came out of. You have the history of God dealing with your people, but now you have a different future sealed now by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Galatians 2:8, it says this, "For he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me towards the Gentiles." Okay, now this is Paul, okay? He was a Jew who was born again. And he was commissioned specifically to take the gospel to the Gentiles. This is what he's talking about here in Galatians 2:8. And he contrasts this with Peter, who was a Jew that was born again, but he was commissioned to take the gospel to the Jew. So Peter's primary responsibility was to his brethren according to the flesh. That's a statement Paul makes in the book of Romans, because he's writing to the ecclesia. I talked about this last week. You need to go back and listen to that. But he's writing to them about God's plan concerning the irrevocable election as it concerns Israel. And so, but as he's talking about these two groups, he'll mention that these are my brethren according to the flesh, but he's writing to the ecclesia about what God is going to do to this other group of people as God sees it spiritually. So that's just of note. Peter, a Jew, born again, now he's ecclesia, but he was assigned to go back to his brethren according to the flesh and minister the gospel to them. Paul, on the other hand, a Jew who's now born again, ecclesia now, but his commission was to take the gospel to the Gentile. And he's saying that it worked just as effective in Peter as it did in me. So again, according to the Bible, Paul alone was the first to receive the mystery plan of grace, also called the church. Okay, you can look at this. We're not going to look at this in detail. That's not the point of these messages or these episodes. But generally speaking, Paul was the first. We know this because he tells about it. He was the first one to receive the mystery that was hidden, even from the Old Testament prophets. They didn't know. Okay. It was hidden until an appointed time. And now God called Paul to go reveal the mystery now. And you know from the writings of Paul that he went to Peter first. Peter was the one of the first ones that Paul downloaded the entirety of this mystery to. And but Paul received the call, the commission, to begin to preach the gospel. That's what you and I know it, but the Bible called it a mystery. It was grace. It was the church. So this is in Ephesians 2, first part of Ephesians there. You'll find it about that. Galatians talks about it. And this mystery of grace of the church was to include any Jew and any Gentile that would have faith in Jesus Christ. And out of those two pools of people, whoever believed the gospel would be recreated from the inside out. They would be born again. There would be a new creation in Christ Jesus. But then there's these metaphors applied to them that they would also be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, okay? Totally different people group, right? As distinct from Jew and Gentile. But they would also be, metaphorically, they would be the body of Christ, okay? Christ would be the head of these folks. They would be his body. And they would also be his bride. They would be Jesus Christ's bride. So that was in the gospel. And Peter, once he got his junk sorted, remember, he kind of struggled a little bit saying, what? Because they were told the Gentile was completely unclean, like worthless. And that got into some exaggerations where they really mistreated these folks, but rightly so or not, whatever. But you know Peter's story, right? He had the revelation of the blanket with all the unclean animals in it. And so this was the precursor to literally Peter himself getting to share in a conversion, in a born-again experience with a Gentile who came to faith in Jesus. So Peter was sent to the Jew primarily with that gospel message after he got it sorted. And then Paul was sent to the Gentile to deliver this message. Remember, he said in Mark 16, I want you to take this message to all the world, to every creature, right? That would kind of be a reference back to all the creatures Peter saw in the blanket. And he said, no, that's unclean, that's unclean, that's unclean, that's unclean. Hey, in the eyes of Jesus, I want you to take this gospel to anybody, anywhere. Anybody outside of a Jew would have been considered unclean. I want you to take it all the creatures, whether you think they're clean or not clean. And something about the gospel, though, is that it makes an unclean thing clean. Remember when Jesus healed the leper, the fact that he touched this leper. Listen, you weren't even to get near a leper. Why? Because they were unclean. The woman with the issue of blood, you know, she could have been stoned to death because she was bleeding. Why? She was unclean. They were, hardcore about staying away from unclean things. Now, you understand that they were off. Okay, but that's a whole another thing. But because the revelation that God had about that wasn't to ostracize people. Goodness. Jesus was moved with compassion. Hello, they totally missed it, right? They totally missed it. You and I miss it today. Okay, we're not picking on anybody because you and I still miss it today as well. But anyway, so the gospel was for anybody outside of the first covenant people. They struggled with it. There's no way that these unclean people could have any place in God. Well, he had a plan, and this particular plan had to do with him taking an unclean thing, totally causing it to be born again from the inside out. That became known as the church or the ecclesia or the body of Christ. Now, wow, what a privilege. And even maybe even deeper, further, is that he would betroth himself to this new creation. Wow. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And here you and I are plucked out because we accepted Jesus Christ, totally plucked out of the future judgment that awaited us as Gentiles, which was certain death, by the way. And it really wasn't going to be too much better for the Jew necessarily. They were going to go through some crazy judgments. But here is the Gentiles now being invited in to participate in something amazing. And this particular mystery included being born again. All right. I think you're caught up with me. I think I've given you enough. Maybe you could start seeing the lens of the New Testament or the gospel in a very profound way now. The point was Paul was specifically commissioned to bring that to you and I. Romans 1:16, it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Boy, if you look at it in the proper lens, no way would we be ashamed of it. What a privilege. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. What gospel? Well, it's the gospel of Jesus, but what does that include? Grace, that you can quit toiling, that Jesus has become our Sabbath, that in him you can rest. In him is deliverance. In him is freedom. In him, the law is written on your heart. And you're not, the law doesn't bring swift judgment upon the external. You couldn't obey him anyways, the Bible says. What mercy and compassion is grace. Wow. And so if you know your Bible, you know that we're saved by grace through faith. Wow. Hallelujah. That's amazing. Just look upon him. Look upon him. Just look upon Jesus. Oh, wow. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. Confess him as Lord. And the Bible says, Holy Spirit will come in and cause you to be born again. All right, so now you're plucked out of in the eyes of God and as far as futures and judgments, you're plucked out from being a Gentile. Now you're ecclesia. Now you're betrothed to Jesus. Totally different future now awaits you. And by the way, you're not going through wrath. That's part of the gospel. It's counterintuitive to tell people that you're going to go through wrath when actually the gospel says you're not going to go through wrath. Paul made that very clear. He said, you are not appointed to wrath. But these jokers who think they're Israel, you're not Israel. Unless you are a Jew, you are not a Jew, okay? And he said, for you, you're not going through wrath. Who's this gospel for? The church. The church is not appointed to wrath. Not this new creation. Well, the Bible talks about wrath, but it talks about a group of people that aren't going through it. Who is that? The church is not going through it. Law of deduction says, okay, what are the other groups of people then that the Bible talks about and associates with wrath? Well, the Jew and the Gentile, but not the church. Acts 13:46, then Paul and Barabbas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you Jews first, but since you rejected it, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, We now turn to the Gentile. Now, Romans 9, 10, 11, I talked about this last week. Go back, listen to that if you haven't yet. But we talked about the book within a book. Paul is saying, listen, the church is kind of getting a little bit high-minded in their estimation of themselves. They're starting to claim things that doesn't apply to them still applies to Israel, because Israel's election and selection is irrevocable, okay? But the church tries to claim that verse for themselves. You can claim it for yourself because it's the character of God. But first context, that verse in Romans 11, 29, that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, it doesn't apply to the church in the first sense. It applies to Israel because they were elected to be his kingdom on the earth. And that still stands. God has a plan. Zechariah, Isaiah, Hosea. Read your Bibles. It lays that out. Hallelujah. But here he's saying that, and then Paul said that their blindness was what God used in order to get the gospel to the Gentiles. And this is in Acts 13. This is what Paul and Barnabas, they're picking up on this. They're recognizing this because now Paul has revealed to them the mystery. They wouldn't have had this thought. This came after Paul talked to them about the mystery that was revealed to him. Now, you can look at Ephesians 3. We're not going to go there, but you can look at Ephesians chapter 3, and you'll see some more about this mystery. But let's go on here. Let's go to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the gospel that we were commissioned to take to all the Gentiles. I think it's very fascinating that both Paul and Peter say they were Jew, because the Bible says to the Jew first. But I just read to you where Paul and Barnabas both said that many of the Jews rejected it. God took that into consideration. He used it as an avenue for him to be able to get the gospel then to the Gentiles. But it was to the Jew first. And this, again, this is why you and I don't need to be conceited in our thinking. That in the eyes of God, that's what Romans 11 said, that in the eyes of God, let me just read it to you, they are beloved for the sake of the Father. He still got a plan for Israel. Okay, we don't need to claim Israel's future because we have our own. That's offensive to do that. All right, so for God so loved the world. So this is what Paul and Barnabas were saying right there. God was saying, I want you to take this gospel now to every creature, again, a reference to what Peter saw in the blanket, people that you thought were unclean, take it to the ends of the world, take it all the way out there, take it to the Gentile, take it to the heathen, take it to the Goyim, take it to the Greeks. God so loved the world. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18 of John 3, he who believes in Jesus is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. It's condemned already. The Gentiles were condemned already. Like if you know your Bible and the judgment in the future that was associated prophetically to the Gentile, they were condemned already. But the gospel was going to be their only escape. From what? Condemnation. Wrath. Judgment. There's only one group of people that are not appointed to wrath, because that condemnation in Christ Jesus has been removed. So he who does not believe is condemned already. They were condemned. The gospel was the only thing that was going to get them out, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's what the rest of that verse says. Ephesians 2, 1 through 9. Let me read this to you. And you, well, who's the you there? Well, Ephesians is a letter. The letters are written to the ecclesia, not to the Jew, not to the Gentile. So when he says you, you may have been a Gentile. You might have Jewish heritage and lineage, but he's not talking about the future and the judgment that associates those two groups of people. He's talking about ecclesia here. So he says, and you, ecclesia, the church, the one new man in Christ, the born again believer, the new creation, the body, the bride, and you, he's made alive. You were dead in trespasses and sin. Specifically, if you were Gentile, like you were part of the nations, you weren't a part of the first covenant people, then you were a Gentile. That included everybody that had no relationship with God whatsoever. He said, and you were already condemned. You were dead in your trespasses. That was your judgment. That was your future. He says in verse 2, you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. That was you. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying. That was you. You were a child of wrath. You were a son of disobedience. Your father was the devil, but not in Christ. Verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, watch this, children of wrath, just as the others. Now, what's very interesting here is, as the church, you are the only group now not appointed to wrath. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together in Christ Jesus. By grace, you have been saved. Verse 6, and raised us up together. Us who? Us who? He's not talking to the Jew here. He's not talking to the Gentile here. He's talking to the ecclesia, or this new creation, this new man on the earth, the second Adam, the body of the second Adam. Born again. You have to be born again. You're born again with new DNA. Zoe is your life now. He raised us up together and made us, us. Who's the us? He's not talking to the Jew. There are other passages in the Bible that talk to the Jew, talk about the Jew, discuss Israel's future. There's other Bible passages, prophecies, that deal with the Gentiles' future, but that this us here is not either one of them. He made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. Us, us who? Not us the Jew. That wouldn't apply to you and I. I've never been a Jew. I have never been a Jew. There is no way anybody would ever confuse me with a Jew. Now, they might confuse me with a heathen or a Gentile, but if my life expresses something different now, the life of Christ in me, if I'm a dead man and the life that I live now is Christ, then they won't even confuse me with a Gentile. The church should never, is never confused with the Jew. And the church should never be confused with the Gentile, with the heathen, with just the random nations, with somebody that doesn't have a covenant with God. The church should never be confused as a Gentile. You may have come out from one of those two groups, but you should be totally different now. So he wants to show the exceeding greatness of his grace and his kindness toward us, this born again, this new creation, this body and bride of Christ, this ecclesia, this church called the church, translated church, ecclesia, translated church. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Verse 9, lest anyone should boast. Now, all that's very important. We're about out of time here, so I may have to wait till next week to get into the greater thought that was building up to. But it's very important. You got to know that it's not of works. Oh, that's very important. As a believer in Christ Jesus, you would have no idea what the works that was mentioned there would be referring to if you had no clue about a particular group of people called the Jews, who God used to bring the law into view in order to reveal our sin and need for a Savior. Let me say it one more time here. You would have no idea what verse 9 meant Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9, you would have no idea what he would be saying, that your salvation is based on grace, not of works. You wouldn't have a clue what that meant if you didn't know about one of the first groups of people in the Old Testament called the Jew and the covenant God made with them. He introduced the law to them, not to the Goyim, not to the nations. The nations didn't get the law. I mean, they got it because the Jew revealed it. The Jew lived it. That's how the nations understood it. But the law wasn't given to the Gentile. The law wasn't given to the oracles were not given to the Gentile. Remember, Peter talks about that. The prophets weren't given to the Gentile. Who was the law, the oracle, and the prophets? Who were they given to? The Jew. Now, why do people keep confusing themselves with somebody they are not? I don't know. It's devilish. Replacement theology is devilish. But again, as a Gentile, especially on this side of the resurrection of Christ Jesus, okay, I'm talking about in the last 2,000 years, you would have no idea what that reference to works meant if you didn't know the history of the Jew, the person that you cannot confuse yourself with. Listen, you cannot confuse yourself with Israel. And people are calling the ecclesia true Israel. I mean, we might be a type of a covenant people, but when it comes to the earthly dealings, there's no way you can confuse yourself with Israel. There's believers claiming that land over there. By the way, that is the hot contention right now, is the land. And you have, like, I think I heard that the Catholics, I think of all like religious groups, they own the most amount of land in Israel. But then you got all kinds of these religions and denominations and groups that think that they have to have the land because they're associating themselves with Israel. I'm just saying, nobody, listen, you Gentile, you previous Gentile, listen, you church, you ecclesia, nobody should confuse you with a Jew. And nobody should confuse you with a Gentile. I hope that's coming across clear here. If you've been plucked out of one of these groups in Christ Jesus, it's no longer you who live, but Christ in you. Nobody should associate you now with those groups that you came out of. But again, we got believers who are thinking, man, we got to take over Israel. You know what I mean? We got to go over there and prop ourselves up as the rightful inheritors of Israel. No, no, no. There's promises concerning it. Very strong promises, by the way. Very, very, very strong promises as it concerns the land. And it's mapped out. It's mapped out. It's very mapped out. It has boundaries. It has borders. And that is the inheritance, okay, to the Jew, namely the line of promise, Israel. And listen, they are going to get it back. It has nothing to do with you as the church. It has everything to do. It's because they're beloved for the sake of the Father. Their election, their selection, is irrevocable. And so there's prophecies that outline what's going to happen. They're going to look upon him who appears to be a fountain of cleansing opened up to them. The Isaiah millennial prophecies talk about it's going to be like, because Israel will be restored back to their land. God will fulfill his covenant with them to be a kingdom on the earth. But you have promises. If we were associated with the type of Israel, but the Bible would round that out, that thought out, with saying, but we're of the heavenly Jerusalem, not the earthly one. So if we were a type, we would be a type of the Israel that rules and reigns from the heavenly one, not the Israel that rules and reigns from the earthly one. So we got to keep that straight, because it's very offensive. That's what Paul talks about, Romans 9, 10, and 11. He said, listen, you are invited into this thing. Don't think it's now suddenly become all about you when it's about his promises to his first covenant folk. Got off on all that to say, you would know nothing. You and I would know nothing about what it means that this salvation via grace has nothing to do with works if you didn't understand what he did with the Jew in the beginning. And it was all based on works then. All based on works. So now if we have a covenant that's not based on works, we need to kind of understand what he's referring to here so that we can stay out of the very thing that people are trying to draw us back into. Let me give you a teaser for what I want to talk about next week, is the Judaizers. If you understand them, there were people that were coming around behind Paul who was commissioned to the Gentiles to introduce this gospel of salvation that didn't include the law or works, because God was doing something with a different type of man that was born again. And these Judaizers would come around him saying, no, you got to pretend to be a Jew and you got to come back under the law. And then, so they were saying, you got to get circumcised, or you got to honor the Sabbath, or you have to honor the feasts, or you got to observe these new moons and this and that and this and that and this and that. And Paul went around. It almost seemed like we're just relentlessly coming around and saying, no. If you go back under trying to pretend to be somebody you're not, okay? Now, Paul specifically was commissioned to the Gentile. You had Judaizers trying to tell these Gentiles, you got to act like Jews. Nobody has ever confused a Gentile for a Jew and vice versa. But suddenly now, you've got this devilish strategy of these lines of demarcations being blurred so that nobody knows the futures and judgments that now associate or await them. Okay, even Israel, God invited them to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You can get born again if you want to here. You're going to go through a lot of hard stuff if you don't. Anyways, but these Judaizers came back around and said, no, it's not enough. Jesus is not enough alone. You have to observe parts of the law. So that's what we're going to talk about. But again, we got to lay out here three different groups of people so you know who you are. Like if a Judaizer came to you today and you think you're Israel, if you think you're Israel or some sort of, I don't even know. I mean, because obviously I don't know all the various twistings and turnings and deceptions that are out there. But if you were a Gentile, it's pretty obvious you would know. But you've come to faith in Jesus Christ. Like to me, I would think the Jew wouldn't struggle, because the revelation of Jesus Christ is just that powerful. It's the same revelation you and I had. Okay. But if anybody was going to struggle a little bit here with who they really were, I wouldn't think it would be the Gentile. Like, because we were totally outside. I mean, totally outside. There was nothing but death awaiting us. Okay. No promises, no future. God wasn't working with us. We were alienated from the life of God, Ephesians said. So I could see the Jew maybe being a little more confused when the revelation of Jesus Christ in that sense. But for a Gentile, man, this should be easy peasy for us. And but to know that this gospel message was given to us, that our salvation is just dependent on our faith in Jesus Christ, because he toils, what the Bible says, so we didn't have to toil. But you wouldn't know what that was unless you knew about what God did with his first covenant people, the Jew. But then again, and I got to close. Let me turn on my music here. These Judaizers keep coming back around and said, no, you got to come back under the law. No, I don't have to because I'm not a Jew. Okay, number one, no, because I'm not a Jew. And number two, no, because Jesus laid out the Father, laid out, the Holy Spirit's laying out what this one new man in Christ, Jesus, how we live, how we move, what future awaits us, what judgments can we anticipate. All that's laid out for us now. There should be no confusion, no contention. I don't have to act like this. I'm not a heathen anymore because I'm born again and I'm not a Jew. So I don't have to do these things. All right, that's where we're going, friends. I hope that will be a blessing to you. I know it will be. All right, listen, if we can pray for you, several ways you can reach out to us with your prayer requests. Of course, you can send an email to hello@graycitychurch.tv, or you can go to the website graycitychurch.tv/prayer, or you can call us 870-741-9099. It would be our honor to pray with you if you've got any prayer requests and you just need a faith buddy to stand with you. All right, friends, thank you so much for tuning in today. And until next time, be blessed.